I really appreciate you mentioning getting to the root of the issue, right? And it's really coming back to understanding what beauty actually is. And if, even if we go back to the book of Genesis, you know, God says we're made in his image and likeness, right? And if the body wasn't beautiful, if our masculinity and femininity, what makes us human, wasn't beautiful, the devil wouldn't take the chance to try to distort it for his own good, right? So it's, and I think you also mentioned earlier that we've lost this idea of what beautiful art actually is, even aside from those referencing the body, but even in music and in scripture and in writing, there's just so much beauty in the world that in this instant gratification culture that we live in, we miss it for that quick reaction that we get from so much other things.
100% agree with you on that. And I think another point to drive from why we are so blind, and quoting one of the earlier Supreme Court justices, I think his name is Potter, and I talk about this in the book, is that, you know, he says, when I know pornography when I see it. Well, if we've been programmed in the pornified vision, which is everywhere, our movies, television, not just the stuff on the internet, everywhere, then we're not going to be able to tell the difference. I mean, G-rated movies have a sexual innuendo in them. Our kids are growing up, born and bred in this. And so we've got to reclaim what beauty is. And when we are trained in this and it becomes a part of us and we long for it, here's the great takeaway. We become inoculated to pornography. Okay? I'm in the presence of pornography. We don't seek it out. But again, these images pop up. We see them. And I no longer desire it because I desire what is, I've been formed in what is true, good, and beautiful. This is where that ugliness comes in. That's where that 9-year-old boy was like, this is a yucky picture. Can immediately tell the difference. And we, and instead of moved to this ravenous lust, instead we're moved to sadness. Oh my God, this great person in front of me has been degraded. I want to pray for them and I want to love them for who they are.
Not what they are.
Yeah. So let me ask you, Steve, in regards to art, because I'm very much into sacred art. You know, you're obviously, I'm obviously, you know, you're not telling everyone to run out now and just go get a painting of you know, the David or anything like that and put it in their house, but to have a proper understanding. So how would you, what kind of recommendation or suggestions would you give to a parent? You know, because here in the Diocese of St. Augustine, where we are, we have a very strong devotion here to Our Lady of La Leche, which I'm really glad that you brought it up because, you know, Maria Lactans, you know, the bishop has a great devotion to her. And what's really funny that I find, and as we've been going through this conversation, is that if you actually go back to the original statue of Our Lady of La Leche, you see Our Lady and her one of her breasts is actually fully exposed, and the child is almost leaning back, almost as though the child is like drunk, you know, from feeding. And then as the years go on, as new statues were actually created after certain ones had been destroyed because of fires and whatnot, you actually start to see the evolution of how, you know, Mary's bare chest actually starts to slowly get covered up by the head of the child Jesus. And so you can kind of see the evolution of the thought and sort of the loss of what you're talking about, the truth, the vision of what, and really ultimately how God created man's body and how God created man to see the other, you know, from the very beginning, from the time before the fall, you know, how God created Adam and created Eve to see one another, and how it was the one of the first things that they noticed about one another immediately after the fall was they noticed they were naked.
And they felt no shame.
Right. Initially. Right, but then after the fall.
Initially.
Right.
Certain.
Right.
And this is, and obviously, you know, we're dealing with, we're dealing with delicate issues here, okay? You know, you kind of made a light of it, you know, don't run out and get a picture of the David or Sistine Chapel. And I might say, why not? Right?
So then how do you explain this to your kids? I mean, I guess, because this is where I'm struggling with.
Sure, yeah, and I think all parents are. Because, and I think first and foremost, we have to wrestle with our own demons. What is our own view of the body? Because most of us, our experience of the body has been one through the lens of lust. We've eaten the forbidden or tasted the forbidden fruit, or maybe we've swallowed the whole kumquat wholesale, right? and so inadvertently, many of us, we affirm the pornified culture by denying the body. Because when we think of this unveiling of the body and seeing it appropriately, we may get a little bit nervous. And I have to ask, why? Who told you that you were naked, right? Remember God asked that in the garden?
Right.
It wasn't God. God didn't tell them that. They just were. It was their flesh was the accepted means of this. And there's a careful balance here. So, you know, there's something to be said for getting sacred art into our home. We have it over our, I guess it's our mantle place, shall we say, it's a bookcase. We have the creation of Adam. Adam's all in all his glory, right as God's about to go and create his life. And I have two daughters here, and they haven't thought much about it, but it's around them. And then there's another image of the Sistine Chapel here. And I want them there. And as they grow, right, there's appropriate catechesis that has to be here to show them what is the glory of the human body. Why did God create us male and female? And this is a very important aspect, especially in the world we live in, where you have the blurring of what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman. There's profound implications here. And a lot of it comes from that has been body shaming, this fear of the body. And so for parents, I would say, get this sacred art into the home. Learn how to do this. The demons, the things that we wrestle with in our heart, don't be afraid of them. Bring them to prayer, bring them to God, and have him talk to him about that. Bring this out. And then in the midst of those ordinary, normal family times, bathroom, shower time, you know, things like that, where you're getting out, and it's a normal part. Your kids come in. There's like, have those normal interactions there that go on. And in the beginning, it may not feel normal. But what we're saying is, what is the way in which it's accepted? If we were born naked in that, you know, we were born naked in there, then there's something good about that. And we have to go and teach our children that seeing appropriately the body is a good thing. Because the more and more we raise them up in an appropriate, healthy setting of understanding, they're going to have a much better chance of acceptance of their own body. And through a whole dialogue, and one of the heart, we got to make this very clear, the heart and root of theology of the body is Jesus Christ. And who is Jesus Christ? He came to reveal God the Father and reveal that God is gift and that our life is meant to be gift. And so when we have this notion of giftedness, being taught that we are gift, then when those feelings become eroticized, then we're able to have a healthy conversation. What is our sexuality for? What is our body for? What is nakedness really all about? And this becomes a normal, healthy conversation. And if we've been doing this, age appropriately, right?
Right.
And this is where discernment, a grace that God has given to us, and the church has given us lots of language to begin talking about this. When those conversations inevitably need to take place of our desires, you know, of the opposite sex, we're going to have a means to talk. It's not going to be something that's foreign or that we just do one conversation. We don't talk about it again. No, it's something, a natural, uncomfortable thing here. So to some parents, they may need to get over themselves and they may need to just, we have to go and wrestle with those things in us and seek our own healings that happen here.
Hmm. So now, Steve, do you have any resources for the parents that may be listening? Of maybe, like, what are some resources maybe that you and Valerie use for educating your children?
First and foremost, obviously, this would be for them. First, pick up a copy of my book. Start working your way through this, because we've got to know what is out there. There's a lot facing our children. I mean, and chapter 12 of the book is very practical. We do talk about technology. We don't recommend just handing them a smartphone and go have at it. No, there is education there. And if we don't have an appropriate way to address those things and they haven't been taught in beauty, well, then we got to really work through this. Okay. So those are some of the things I would add in a parent's own time. Just type in